Encounter Life Church. My name is Pastor Dwayne McKinney. I'm the senior pastor here at Encounter Life, and I cannot tell you how excited that I am to have you join us on this last Sunday in the month of April. And has this been an April like none other that we've ever seen? An April where every Sunday, in fact, we've been doing church online, virtually. We've been outside of our buildings because of what's going on with the pandemic, with the coronavirus, COVID-19. But I tell you one thing, you can close actually the doors of the building, but God's church, nobody can stand against his church. The gates of hell cannot stand against God's church, the church of Jesus Christ. And he will build his church. So we're excited because guess what? It continues to move because we as individuals now, he no longer dwells in temples made with hands. We're the church. So we're excited that God's work is still going on, and we're glad that you could join us today. So if you're new, this is your first time joining us in any kind of way, we want to connect with you. So we want you to text the word new, that's N-E-W, to 301-804-2520, so we can connect with you and just kind of get some stuff to you, let you know what's going on with our services. And also, if you're not new, if you've been here before and you want to be kept in the loop to some of the things that are going on, things like our daily prayer call that we have at noon, or Zoom, or if you want to be connected into a life group. You're not connected into a life group. We have these small group Bible studies that meet throughout the area, throughout the week. And if you want to be plugged in, I want you to text the letters, ELC, to 301-804-2520. Text the letters ELC to 301-804-2520 so we can keep you in the loop of what's going on here at Encounter Life Church. Our vision in Encounter Life is that everybody encounter the presence of God, discover their purpose, and experience his power in their life. And we pray that you experience his power right where you are, wherever you are, in your kitchen, your living room, your dining room, your bedroom. I don't care where it is. I pray that the power of God through his spirit invade your space today and that he transform you. I say this every week that we don't need more information, but what we want is transformation, what we need for God to transform us. So can we pray as we go into our time this morning? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. Thankful for the privilege to come, even in using this method that we have right now online, God, to study your word. And Lord, as we are here, first time in forever that we've had a whole month, Lord, where we were not able to occupy our buildings, Lord, we thank you that, Lord God, nothing can stop your church. Nothing can stop your move, a move of God. That, Lord, you're sovereign and in control. And I pray that today, while people are watching at homes or wherever they are, God, that you will invade their space. God, that you will reveal yourself to them in ways that you've never done before. God, that you show yourself strong. Show us your face this morning. We pray. Encourage our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, as we are sitting in the middle of what we call a global pandemic with COVID-19, one thing that I do know that God is still in control. And we said our series is titled Songs for the Soul. And the reason why we came up with that, because songs have a way of healing. Songs have a way of encouraging us. I was talking last week about the D-Nice, the DJ on Instagram, holding an online Instagram party that encourages so many people with music. So I said, you know what better songs to encourage us than songs from the scripture? And what better place to find songs from the scripture is the book called Psalms, which is a book of songs. And so last week we talked about the reason why I sing, the reason why I can sing. And you and I can sing. Listen, we have a reason to sing. Even in the midst of turmoil, you can still have joy. You can still sing his praise. Number one, because God's promises are true. He's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he changes his mind. You can sing because his love is persistent. It never fails you. No matter what I do, no matter how far I've fallen, he never stops loving me. And I'm also excited about not only does he not stop loving me, but also I can sing because a God loves me has power that is supernatural. He's got supernatural power. He's there to protect me, and he's there to provide for me. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or imagine. But not only does he have supernatural power, not only does he have persistent love, not only are his promises true, but also he has placed me into his family. Aren't you glad that God is now, because I've made a decision to accept Christ as Lord of my life, now that he has placed me in his family. And now that I've been placed in his family, you know what I have the benefit of? I have the benefit of knowing that his presence is always with me, that he'll never leave me or forsake me, that he watches over me. His presence is with me. And also, not only that, he wants to protect me. He wants to protect me. And in light of all of those things, I can have patience for him. I can patiently wait on him in the midst of the drama. So that's why I sing, y'all. That some ask the question, why do I sing? Why I lift my hands to Jesus? What do I mean? Listen, because I know my God is sovereign. He loves me and he's on the throne. And because of that, that's the reason why I sing. So we started that last week. But this week, we're going to go to a different psalm. And we're going to start at the very beginning. So if you got a Bible or your phone, I'm going to ask you, you can flip to Psalm chapter 1. And our title today is Living the Blessed Life. Living the Blessed Life. I don't know about any of you who are fans of gospel music, but I love all kind of music, but I love gospel music. And there's one group that I love. It's a group of my youth, not even just my youth. They're iconic. It's an iconic gospel group that they just did a movie on them on TV a couple of weeks ago. And it's the Clark Sisters. I don't know if y'all watched that movie about the Clark Sisters, Twinkie Clark, Dorinda, Clark Cole, Karen Clark Shear, Jackie, all of them. If you watched that movie and just brought back some memories of songs and was encouraged by it and their mom and just the anointing that was on their life. But there was a song that they have that I love. It says, I like living this kind of life. I'm living the blessed life. I don't know about you. I want to live the blessed life. I want to be blessed when I come and when I go. And I believe God's word, there's many passages talking about God's blessing, but I believe right in the beginning of Psalms, we find the key to living the blessed life. Can we look at Psalm chapter 1? If you're watching me today and you want to live a blessed life, let's look at Psalm chapter 1 and see what God's word has to say. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Living the blessed life. Guys, I'm not going to be in front of you long. I'm just going to give you the word blessed. Fred Hammond has a song, blessed. I know, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. But I believe this passage has some keys to you and I living a blessed life. And I'm going to give you the word blessed. You can, if you got paper, you can write it down. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. I'm going to give you this acronym and I'm going to be out of your way. If you want to live a blessed life, the letter B, the first thing that you got to do is you got to beware of ungodly counsel. Beware of ungodly counsel. In fact, don't just beware of it. You do away with ungodly counsel. What does it say right here? Blessed is the man, or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. You want to live a blessed life. You want to live a joyous life. You got to beware. You got to do away with ungodly counsel. He who walks with wise will be wise, the Bible says, but a companion of fools will suffer harm or will be destroyed. What you got to do is avoid ungodly counsel. And sometimes ungodly counsel can come from right inside of me. You got to stay away from people. If somebody's giving me instructions that's against the word of God, guess what? You got to beware of that. And I love the way the imagery here. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. I want you to see a progression that is happening here. I want you to visualize a person. Maybe you can visualize yourself and how it starts. It starts with what I call persuasion. It starts with what I call persuasion. When I begin to listen to the wisdom of the word, I haven't started engaging yet. I haven't started maybe practicing yet. But all it takes for me to do is watch a little bit too much social media. You know, listen to a little bit of too much of the wrong kind of music. Listen to the wrong kind of information. Listen, you need to beware of ungodly counsel. If you're here today and you want to know how to have a wonderful marriage, if you want to have a great marriage, I'm telling you, beware of talking to people, getting marriage advice from ungodly people. Man, it blew me away the other day. It just made me laugh. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he and his wife, praise God, have been married for like 17, 18 years. Wonderful marriage, wonderful family, good friend of mine. And he said, man, Dwayne, do you know when we got married like 17 years ago, we did marital counseling. We sat down with the pastor. And on the day of our wedding, my wife was late. So me and my best man, my brother, were sitting down. And we were talking to the pastor. And we were talking to the pastor about, you know, his wife. And I've never seen your wife. And the pastor said, you know, actually, I'm not married. I said, huh? He said, man, hold on. You're not married? Pastor said, no. He said, and you've never been married? He said, well, actually, I'm divorced. And my friend looked at him and said, man, we just did 3 months of marital counseling with you. And not only are you not married, but you're divorced. And the pastor said, actually, man, I was going to ask you after this, you know, I'm engaged now again. And I was wondering maybe if you and your wife-to-be, once you guys get married, if you could just kind of sit down and talk with me. Because as I counseled you, man, every question I asked you were right on. And I've never met somebody so ready to be married. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, just blown. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But I'm here to tell you, you got to be careful getting counsel from people who don't have success in their own lives. You got to beware of ungodly counsel. If I want to know how to walk in purity, I'm not going to ask somebody who's not doing it. You know, you got to beware of ungodly counsel. If you want to have a blessed life, you got to make sure that you listen to godly wisdom, godly counsel. Number two, if you want to have a blessed life, I want you to look at the next verse. It says, verse one, blessed the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And then it says, nor stands in the way of sinners. If you want to have a blessed life, number one, you got to beware of ungodly counsel. Number two, the next thing you got to do is you got to let go of people who have lawless lifestyles. You got to let go of people who have lawless lifestyles. What does it say? It says you go from the man that goes from walking in the counsel of the ungodly. See, that's persuasion. When he's starting to listen to the wisdom of the world, starting to listen to the wisdom of people who tell you, listen, man, you don't have to do that. You don't have to put up with that with your wife. Man, there's a whole lot of other women out here. You don't have to walk in holy. You don't have to stay pure. Man, listen, God has given you these desires. He's given you these urges. You don't have to do that. It starts with listening to that kind of information. But then the man goes from walking in the council to then what? Standing in the way of sinners. See, he was on his way through. I kind of like to picture a man on a walk through life. You know, this life is like a walk. We're on a journey. And as this man is on his journey of life, he's going and he's spending time walking, listening to the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to have a blessed life, you got to beware of ungodly counsel. But number two, you got to let go of some folks. You got to let go of some people who've got lawless and loose lifestyles. It's right here. So don't stand in the way of sinners. Stand in the way of sinners. What happens? That word sinner right there, in the actual original language, indicates somebody who has a lifestyle, a habitual lifestyle of sin. A habitual lifestyle of sin. And I wanted to point that out because the fact of the matter is we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. I'm not saying that people who mess up. I'm talking about you cannot, if you want a blessed life, you got to let some folks go out of your life who've got a lifestyle of ungodliness, who've got a lifestyle of unholiness, who've got a lifestyle of lawlessness, which means a lifestyle of lawlessness means somebody who knows the truth but willingly rebels against the truth. And I'm here to tell you, guess what? Sometimes those people are in church. Sometimes those are people who may say that they know God, because what happens is to whom much is given, much is required. You, if you want to have a blessed life, you got to look, you need to take a survey. I want you to right now, take a survey of your life. Take a survey of your life and look at the people who you spend the most time with, the people that you're closest to, the people that you spend the most time and intimate time with, and ask yourself, do these people have lawless lifestyles? Well, when I say lawless, I'm not saying they may not be bank robbers. They may not be murderers. But if you know my God says, listen, if I want to flee fornication and I got a friend who sleeps around with everybody, then maybe I need to avoid that person. So then you got to ask yourself, as I look into the scriptures and what God's called me to do, and if I look on God's calling in my life, is this person's lifestyle diametrically opposed to what the God's calling is on my life? And if so, you got to let those kind of people go. So if you want to have a blessed life, you got to beware of ungodly counsel. That's number one. Don't stand around it. Don't listen to it. Don't be persuaded by ungodly counsel, because the longer you stay persuaded, the longer you listen to ungodly counsel, you may subject yourself, you may be suspect to what? Living a lifestyle of lawlessness, standing in the way of sinners. You know, it's a progression. That's how the devil does. All he wants you to do is listen to it. Next thing you do, you just kind of get more comfortable. You become preoccupied. You move from being persuaded to becoming preoccupied with a lifestyle of lawlessness. If you want a blessed life, beware of ungodly counsel. You got to let go of people who have loose and lawless lifestyles. But if you want to have a blessed life, the third thing that you got to do is eliminate those who have open contempt for the gospel. Eliminate those who have open contempt for the gospel and God's word. What do I mean? Well, look at it. He says, He says in verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners. Then it says, or sits in the seat of scoffers. A scoffer is a mocker. To sit, the actual Hebrew word there for sit means to dwell, your dwelling place. What you got to eliminate people who actually are scoffers. So there are some people who may be sinners, who live a lawless lifestyle. Some of those people may even profess to be believers of God. But there are other people who have open contempt for what we call the truth. A person who has an open contempt for the gospel, an open contempt or disrespect for God and his word, those are the kind of people that you got to eliminate from your life. Because he says what happens is, look at the person, it's gone from walking in counsel to standing around with sinners to them becoming influencing you so much and persuading you so much that now you become perverted in your mind. And now, guess what? You sit in the seat of scoffers. That is a dwelling place that where somebody is sitting at somebody and you're comfortable around people that mock God's and his word. Right now, if we look at the media and we look around you, there's a lot of mockery of God that goes on. My question is, am I comfortable around people who mock God's truth? What I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to bring light into darkness. When I say eliminate people who are openly have open contempt for God's word, I'm not telling you not to be a witness to them. I'm not telling you not to love them, but I'm telling you, you cannot let that be the place where you spend most of your time if you want to have a blessed life. If you want to have a blessed life, you cannot say the people that I spend most of my time hanging out with and when I'm in my free time, in my leisure time, the time people I have most conversation with, when I'm going to go chill, are people when I got to listen to people who have open contempt for the gospel. Because what happens is, as long as you stay in that environment without shining light in that environment, because that's what God has called you to do. If you stay in that environment, guess what? You begin to be influenced by that. So if you want a blessed life, beware of ungodly counsel. If you want a blessed life, you got to let go of individuals who have a lawless and loose lifestyle. If you want a blessed life, you must eliminate anybody who's got open contempt for the gospel. But what else do you have to do? Look at verse 2. It tells you. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. If you want a blessed life, what you got to do, you got to savor God's word. Savor God's word. When you look up the definition of savor, it's like it refers to somebody is eating a meal and enjoying it. You got to delight. You got to take pleasure. You got to enjoy God's word. If you want a blessed life, you got to enjoy the word of God. The Bible tells you to desire the sincere milk of the word, like a newborn baby wants milk so that you can grow. I was watching on Instagram the other day. This mom, she was eating. She was taking her fork and sticking it and eating. And she was holding her little baby. And the baby was watching her. And the baby's eyes looked every time mom put the fork up. The baby was like, you mean to tell me you're not going to give me any of that? Like, I want to eat. And you got to be like God's word. You got to have God's word. You got to desire it like that. Like the Bible says, that Job said, I desire your word more than my daily portion of food, my necessary food. You got to have a desire for his word. You got to savor the word of God. If you want to be blessed, you got to savor the word of God. But not only savor the word of God. See, it's one thing. It's not enough just to enjoy it, because a lot of us enjoy good preaching. There are some of you watching now who enjoy listening to a good speaker and enjoy reading a good of scripture or a good book on God's word. But you can't just enjoy it. It goes beyond enjoyment. I want you to look. Verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. But he doesn't stop there in delighting in it. But he says, and on his law, he meditates day and night. If you want to get, if you want to have a blessed life, you not only have to savor the word, but you got to saturate yourself in the word. You got to be saturated with the word of God. You got to immerse yourself. To be saturated means to meditate on it and to appropriate it, meaning to meditate on that word and apply it, to meditate, to ruminate. It's almost like a cow. When a cow eats something, that's why cows have more than one stomach. So they chew stuff and they regurgitate it, right? And they chew it again and regurgitate it and chew it again, and they digest that thing. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to meditate. He wants you to chew on that word and chew on it, and then bring it back up and chew on it again till it becomes such a part of you that you begin to practice the word. See, because that's what he, that's how you have a blessed life. You got to believe that, first of all, that his word is truth. And see, that's why it starts with bewaring of godly counsel. You got to beware of godly counsel, but you got to savor his word. And once you savor his word, now God is calling you to be saturated in his word. I'm asking you right where you are, man, this is so perfect. Because right now, we're in a global pandemic. Most of us can't go to work. We're at home. We got more time than we had before. We got less distractions than we had before, if we allow it. And I really believe that this is an opportunity that God has given for some of us to say, I'm going to eliminate all of the other stuff so that you can have time to get saturated in the Word of God. And why is this so important? Because he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the way I get to understand God is to begin to understand his Word. Today, while you're at home, begin to saturate yourself. Be saturated with the Word of God. And the more you saturate yourself in the Word of God, guess what? It begins to be made manifest in your life. It begins to be made manifest in your life. And as you saturate yourself in his word, the blessings will flow out of your life. That's my next letter. The next letter in blessed is E. What happens is when you savor God's word and you saturate yourself in God's word, you immerse yourself in it, begin to appropriate it. Then what ends up happening is by default, you will exhibit God's blessings in your life. You got, God said he's not a man that he should lie. When I follow his word, blessings come with the following of his word. That's just, he promises it. If I seek first his kingdom, he says, and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto me. That's just the bottom line. When I put him first, when I saturate myself in his word, then what happens? Letter E, I will exhibit God's blessings. Can we look at his blessings? I'm gonna give you some of his blessings. Let's look at verse 3. Once you saturate, be saturated in God's word, verse 3, he says, what are the blessings that you'll exhibit? He said, he is like a tree planted. Let's stop right there. He is like a tree planted. What are some of the blessings of God? Number one, he'll give you stability. He will plant you. He said he's like a tree that's planted. God will establish. He will establish and strengthen and settle you. When you begin to saturate yourself in God's word, put off godly counsel, let go of people with lawless lifestyles, eliminate people who have open contempt with God's word, savor his word, and then saturate yourself in his word, you will exhibit stability in your life. This world needs to see people who are stable, stability, consistency. They need to see that there are people who are not turned by every wind of doctrine. What does stability look like? The Bible tells a parable of a man who built his house on a rock, man who built his house on the sand. And I'm going to tell you right now, while we're in the midst of this drama, we will see who is firmly planted today. You can see who's firmly planted, because when you had your house built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, the firm foundation. Then when the pandemic comes and I can't go to work, I haven't lost my mind. When the pandemic comes and my family member gets sick and I may lose a family member like I did, then I don't go crazy. I don't get mad at God. I don't curse God. But when I'm built on the rock, I'm able to withstand the struggles of life. But what happens is if I'm not like that tree planted, if I'm not planted, if I'm built on some stuff that's flimsy, built on the sand, stuff like material things, like wealth and riches. When you build your life on that, when they are taken away from me, guess what? What do I have? People are crumbling. You'll crumble when you're not firmly planted. What God will do, you'll exhibit his blessing. He'll give you stability. He will plant you like a tree. But look at that. I'm not finished there. Verse 3 says, he's like a tree planted where? By streams of water. God will show you, you'll exhibit the blessing in your life. And one of the blessings is stability. But the next thing, where is he going to plant you? He's going to plant you right by the source, by streams of water. What you're going to exhibit is vitality. See, a tree that is planted in direct proximity to the source of its life. The water represents right there. Water has two things it represents. The word of God, which supplies me and is my source and brings life, but also it's representative of the Spirit of God. See, when I'm able to be filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the word of God, no matter what happens in life, I can be still firmly planted and I've got vitality. I still have life. I can still sing. I can still have joy even in the midst of drama because I'm firmly planted and I'm planted by the rivers of water. Today, let me ask you, are you firmly planted? Are you firmly planted by the source? See, you got to plant yourself in the word of God. You got to make sure that you're filled with the Spirit of God. Because if not, when the drama of life, when hell breaks loose in your life, you'll crumble. What is the blessings of God? The blessings of God. You'll exhibit the blessings of God. You'll exhibit stability. You'll exhibit vitality. But also, guess what? And then it says that it yields, this tree yields its fruit in season. You'll also exhibit fertility. That means production. You'll be fruitful. What God has called, he said, he wants you to bear fruit and have fruit that remains. When you're firmly planted, when you are saturated in the word of God and you're firmly planted by the source and you've got that life, now you will have fruit. And then it says, when are you going to bring fruit? In its season. You're going to walk in the purpose and be fruitful in the timing and in the purpose that God has designed for you. That's the blessing of God. If there's no fruit in your life right now, maybe it's because I'm not firmly planted. Maybe because I'm not firmly planted, and I'm not firmly planted because I have not chosen to savor and be saturated in his truth. If you want to exhibit the blessings of God, the blessings of God are stability, vitality, fertility. He'll give you a life that is fruitful. I want my life to bear fruit. And you know, bearing fruit is not just about good stuff. You know, we get confused with fruit. You know what? I believe fruit is really talking about fruit is souls. You know, I want a life that bears fruit. I want a life that the only thing that lasts is the souls of men. And so I want a life that is such impacted that is by the Spirit of God, that people are impacted by my presence, by me declaring the truth of God in their life, and that people's lives are given to Christ, and that their fruit will remain. Vitality, fertility. And then it says, and its leaf does not wither. You know what that is? That's consistency. See, not you're stable, but you're consistent. He said his leaf doesn't wither. No matter what happens, he's always shining. The leaves are always green. Is your life marked by consistency? When you savor God's word and become saturated with his word, that don't mean just reading it all the time. That means ruminating on it, meditating on it, and then putting it into practice. What does that do? Your life will show consistency. Can people count on you? That's the fruit. That's the evidence. That's the exhibition of the blessing of God in your life. You'll exhibit consistency. And then finally, the thing that you'll exhibit, it says, and all he does, he prospers. And all he does, he prospers. Prosperity. If you want a blessed life, a blessed life will exhibit the blessings of God. They'll exhibit the presence of God. And what does that mean? You'll have stability. You'll have vitality. You'll have fertility. What else? You'll have stability. I mean, you'll have consistency, excuse me. And not finally, you'll have prosperity. People will say, and prosperity is not just about money. It's not just about material things. It's by whatever you touch, you will walk in purpose, that whatever God has called for you to do will succeed. Whatever you put your hands to do will succeed, because I'm walking in the purpose and plan for his life, for my life. That's what you'll do. You'll exhibit God's blessing. If you want a blessed life, number one, what do you got to do? You got to beware of ungodly counsel. If you want a blessed life, not only do you have to beware of ungodly counsel, but you got to let go of some folks. You got to let go of people who got lawless lifestyles. If you want to live a blessed life, you got to eliminate those in your life who have open contempt for the gospel. You got to eliminate those. You can't spend a whole lot of time sitting around with scoffers, with people who mock the truth of God. You got to do that. If you want a blessed life, what you got to do, number one, you got to savor his word. You got to delight in his truth. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And not only do you have to enjoy his word, but you got to be saturated. You got to let it take control of you and begin to appropriate it and apply it in your life. And when you do that, guess what? You'll exhibit the blessings of God. You'll exhibit stability. You'll exhibit vitality. You'll exhibit fertility. You'll exhibit consistency, and you'll exhibit prosperity. And then the final thing, I want to go down to verse 4 and to verse 5. To the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. See, people who don't follow, they're unstable. They don't last. They're here today and gone tomorrow. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But verse 6, it says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The final letter in blessed is D. You know what you can? You can depend on the direction and the defense of God. You can depend on God to defend you and direct you. Look at what it says, verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now, when you look at the word knows there, it's not just like he knows which way you're going, because he knows the way everybody takes. But what it means is the Lord is watching. The Lord is guarding the path of the righteous. What you can depend on, you can depend on God to be your defender, and you can depend on him giving you direction. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. If you want to have a blessed, that's the evidence of a blessed life. A blessed life can depend on God to defend and direct them. My question is, are you living a blessed life today? Are you living a blessed life? Ask yourself this question. Is there some ungodly counsel that I've been listening to that God is telling me, you know what? Don't be persuaded by the influence of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What influence of what ungodly counsel have you been listening to? There may be something that you've been tempted to do. You might be here today and you've been tempted to leave your marriage. Somebody's telling, listen, there's something better for you out there. What you need to do is throw away. Beware of ungodly counsel. Stand on the truth that you know. Not too long ago, matter of fact, this week I had a loved one call me and share with me thoughts of suicide and thoughts of doing something really crazy to themselves and other people. In the middle of the night, person called me and I said, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you know the truth. And I began to recall to this individual the truth that they know and the word that they know, and begin, and they said, listen, thank you for speaking to me and recalling the truth, because they were listening to counsel of somebody ungodly. They were listening to counsel of ungodly counsel that was coming to them from the inside. And we had to bring to them the truth of the word. You got to beware of ungodly counsel, because the devil wants to destroy you. Beware of ungodly counsel. Let go of those who have lawless lifestyles. Eliminate anybody who's got open contempt for the gospel. You can't spend some time hanging around them too long. The only thing you got to be doing is shining light. If you got to bring truth, but you can't go out and hang out and be chilling and put your feet up, you got to beware of that progression. Because if not, it's a slippery slope. But if you want to have the blessings of God, savor his word. Savor it. Delight in his word. Take joy in his word, but be saturated in it. Let's meditate on that thing day and night. Make it a part of your life. Not just read it, apply it. Apply it. And then what happens? You will then exhibit, you will get exhibit the blessings of God manifested in your life. They will manifest themselves and you being stable and you being a person not only who is stable, but is has vitality and life and fertility and consistency and not only consistency, prosperity. People will see the blessings of God in your life and you can count, you can depend on God to defend you and direct you. I like living that kind of life. I want to live a blessed life. If you want to live that blessed life, that life is available to you. But the first thing you got to do is make the commitment to invite Jesus Christ. And you got to first ask God to become Lord of your life. And see, he wants you to have that blessed life today, but it starts with a relationship. It starts with you being in right relationship with God. And the fact of the matter is, all of us are born sinners. I talked about somebody standing in the way of sinners or people who are scoffers have a contempt with God. We're all born as enemies of God. We're all born sinners separated from God. But God made a way to fix that. He made a way to bridge the gap between us and him. And what he did, he loved you and I so much that he sent his son to pay the price for our sins. It was necessary. It had to be. God established that all sin must be paid for because God is righteous. He's just. And so he cannot tolerate sin. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be close with you. But God cannot, and God and sin cannot occupy the same space. But he wants you, and I know, and he wants me, and I'm sinful. So God said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to provide a way. I'm going to provide a solution for their sin problem because I'm perfect and I will be the sacrifice to pay for their sins. And I will take their sinful lives and give them my righteousness. So what he did, God put on flesh and Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived, he died on the cross, he was buried and he rose again so that you might be made right with God. So that he can make an exchange, give to you his righteous, his holy life. God made him who never sinned to be made sin for us so we might become the righteousness of God. And if you want to have that relationship with God, if you want to live a blessed life, it starts with a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. If you've never started that relationship, I invite you to start that relationship today. It's very simple. All you have to do is tell God, admit, as simple as A, B, C. A, admit to God that you're not perfect. Admit to God that, God, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of your glory. I've fallen short of your standard. I admit, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I've broken your standard. God's standard is perfection and nobody's perfect. B, I got to believe that God sent his son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he was the sacrifice made for my sin. I believe that he lived, that he died, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And you believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you, that he was buried, he rose again. And then C, make the choice to invite him into your life, forgive you of your sins and make you who he wants you to be. If you do that, guess what? You can begin a relationship with God and you can experience the blessed life that he has for you. If you'd like to make that decision today, why don't you repeat this after me? Just say, dear God, I admit that I have sinned against you. I admit that I'm not perfect. And today, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I believe that he lived, that he died, and that he rose. He was buried and that he rose again. And I make the choice to invite you into my life. Forgive me of all my sins and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If that simple prayer expressed the desire of your heart, I want to welcome you to the family of God. If you meant that, what you said, that listen, I want a relationship with God. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to be in right relationship with him. Then you can live the blessed life. The blessed life is not just about material things. It's not that. It's about being in right relationship with God. And having the benefit and exhibiting the blessings that he has for you and having the benefit of knowing that he will defend you and he will direct you and that you can live, you can have the confidence to know that you will live with him forever. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, I'm excited for you. We want to know about that. We want to give you some information to help you grow. So if you could text the word NEXT to 301-804-2520, or you can call that number at the bottom of the screen. Someone will be there to counsel and talk with you over the next hour or so, just to encourage you in your new relationship and give you some next steps to take. Listen, I'm so excited that you joined us today. If you're here and you've already accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, and you say, Pastor Dwayne, I've been listening to some ungodly counsel. And, you know, I got some folks in my life that have lawless lifestyles that I got convicted today. You may have gotten convicted. Some stuff you got to let go. Some people you got to let go. And you got to begin to savor and saturate yourself in the Word so you can exhibit God's blessing in your life. And you say, Pastor Dwayne, I was convicted. And you want to recommit your life today. Listen, right where you are, I want you to say this to the Lord. Just say this. Say, Dear God, I'm coming home. Forgive me for my rebellion. Thank you, Lord God. I want to ask you to forgive me. And today, I want to recommit my life to you. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can obey you and walk with you. In Jesus' name, congratulations. Listen, if you pray that prayer, somebody needs to talk with you as well. You can call that number so somebody can connect with you. It's accountability. You need to let somebody know you made that decision, so that we can help give you some next step and encourage you with your walk with God. I just want to remind you, if you're watching today and you're not new, you want to be a part of a life group. You might want to be in community right while you are at home. We want to get you connected in community. So listen, text the word ELC to 301-804-2520. That's ELC 301-804-2520 so we can connect with you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday.